Good morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome back to the second hour of Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. I'm a horticulturist, landscape designer, garden author. I love geeking out at gardens and talking about gardens, and we get a lot of them here in Florida. And so we talked a lot in the first hour about mangoes and then also bananas. Mm-hmm. And
tomatoes
and, you know, brush killer and how to use, you know, chemicals aren't bad. It's just how to use them. You got to use them properly. Follow instructions. And we're going to listen to the dirty word of the day.
And now it's time for the dirty word of the day on Better Lawns and Gardens with Teresa Watkins.
And the dirty word of the day is acaulescent. A-C-A-U-L-E-S. C-E-N-T, acaulescent. Most plants have one or more central stems that support the above-ground portion of a plant. These plants are called caulescent, from the Latin caulis, meaning stalk or stem. The earliest evidence for use of acaulescent is from 1822 in the American Journal of Science, which published an article on the acaulescent violets. Acaulescent plants do not appear to have stems. Instead, these plants tend to grow their leaves close to the ground in a clustered, rosette, or whorled pattern, common for many succulents. Some acaulescent plants can get quite tall. But don't be fooled. Acaulescent plants still have a stem. It's just extremely short, and the spaces between the nodes are densely contracted. Acaulescent plants often have adaptations that allow them to thrive in various environments, such as protection from herbivores and efficient water retention. They can be found in diverse habitats, including deserts, wetlands, and forests. Acaulescent. So some common examples of acaulescent plants are African violets, agave, aloes, bromeliads, caladiums, California poppies, carrots, and chives, cilantro, colocasia, crocus, dandelions, garlic, gerbera daisies, hellebores, lettuce, Mexican palms, a few different varieties, and onions and oxalis, pineapples and primrose, ruellia, two varieties of ruellia, sansevieria, spinach, carline thistle, and yuccas. So use acaulescent this week, maybe with your family when you say, now eat your acaulescent vegetables or your acaulescent salad with lettuce and also carrots and chives. Acaulescent.
Would it be proper to say that we probably, around wintertime, we usually eat fall and winter, we eat a lot of acaulescent, maybe?
Yeah, maybe, yes, because of the garlic and, of course, the lettuce. Your pineapples, you know, are acaulescent. Mm-hmm. So spinach and then also two carrots and cilantro.
There you go.
So, yeah. So I think so. Acaulescent. So that's the dirty word of the day. And this hour, we are going to be taking your phone calls, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me 23680. This is time to get your questions answered. I love helping you as you have questions about your yard. What should you do? What should you plant? You can give me a call and I will help you out with designs or some plant combinations and then also your gardening questions so that we have. One of them was Patricia in Ocala. She said, I need to put very good topsoil on my lawn. Should I fertilize and cut it before placing the topsoil down? Well, that's a good question, Patricia. But first, I need to know why you're wanting to amend your lawn soil. Have you had a soil test? Do you already have turf there? Or are you going to change it out and put new turf down? So the first thing that I would do, Patricia, is go ahead and a soil test kit from soiltestkit.com. It is Soil Agritech's really great test that the extension offices use all over the country. You can get it at soiltestkit.com, or you can go to your extension office and pick up a bag that will you can put your soil in and have it analyzed. Because topsoil, let me just when we put topsoil on the turf, it can get really, really rock solid hard. And so I just kind of want to know why you're wanting to put it down. And sometimes we want to mix it and just use like a compost on top of your lawn. Just sprinkle that out. Or you can just sprinkle out some manure on your lawn, like black cow manure, just very gently, very little bits. But I would want to know why you're wanting to do that. And so if your soil needs amended, what do you put on it? So I wouldn't do it, Patricia, without getting a soil test. If you've already taken one, you might have already taken one and you know you need to put it down, then you want to, you don't want to fertilize it. No fertilizing on lawns right now. And cutting it, you can cut it if you want. That doesn't make any difference that the soil's going to break down on it. But I just kind of want to know why you want to do it. Because lawns don't need really extra soil amendments. So just interested. It's a really great question. And so I just really want to know what you'd like to do there. So Jim in Altamont Springs says, we bought a beautiful Alfonso at the Mango Festival in Miami last spring. And what is the best time of year to prune a two-year-old mango tree? And also, what is the best food for a mango? I'm going to respond to that after I get back. And Ziggy, hang on. We're going to take your phone call, 1-888-455-2967. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Should know.
And welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you have a gardening question, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me 23680. Love to talk with you. We're going to be talking a lot about mangoes today, so hang on for just a bit on that. Let's go to Ziggy in Port Smyrna. Good morning, Ziggy. How are you?
Good morning, Miss Teresa. Long time listener, first time caller.
Thank you. How can I help?
I have a question. How do you feel about coffee grounds mixed in the soil in a vegetable garden, specifically peppers, bell pepper, sweet pepper, maybe cherry pepper?
Okay. Coffee grounds are really, they're full of nutrition, they're full of nitrogen, and, you know, I don't mind them in the garden, but I prefer people to put them in their compost pile and mix it in with the soil and let it break down that way rather than putting it around plants. Coffee grounds have a tendency to, when you put them down underneath roses or underneath plants, they will hold on to the nitrogen until it breaks down. And so it's kind of reverse of what you think that they would do. You think they would be really good for the soil, and it is, but not until it breaks down. So I would say if you have a compost pile, go ahead and put it there first, and then when you add soil to your garden from your compost pile, it will be there. But then if you want to just put it in your raised bed or around your vegetables, I would mix it up really well with the soil. And not put it in clumps or put it in, you know, like a cup here and a cup there. I would really mix it up in the soil.
That's very informative. I do have a raised bed. It's about 2 foot, 10 by 10. And the soil hasn't been used in a while, so I was going to rake the top off and then, like, take a rake and rake it in.
Oh, I wouldn't rake anything off unless you have weeds in the top of it. But go ahead and keep that soil and just mix it up.
Okay. Sounds good. One more. I have a product here that's a miracle. It's a shake and feed all purpose. It doesn't have one of those 666 numbers.
Right.
But there is a picture of tomato and bell pepper. Is that good?
Sure. That's not a problem. That would be fine.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Ziggy. Thank you for calling. You did very well.
Okay. Have a great day. Okay.
You too. Thank you for listening. All right. And so, fertilizer is fertilizer. So, yeah, go ahead and use it and don't mix up your soil. We learned that from Dr. Gary Bachman.
Yes.
Is that your soil, just keep reusing it. It's not a problem. So Jim in Altamont Springs says, what is the best time of year to prune a two-year-old mango tree? And Jim, the best time to prune a mango tree is after you harvest the fruit off. Okay, so you can do it anytime from, let's say, July, August, down through December. Do not cut it after December. And then you want to make sure that you are fertilizing it. You wanted to know what the best fertilizer was. Well, they do really well with a high potassium and a lower nitrogen. Okay, so more leaves on a mango tree isn't good. So you want to, you know, you can use like a 5-8-10 and just lower nitrogen, higher potassium, and your mango tree will do really well. Great question. Thank you so much for it. And Alfonso is the mango tree he recommends. He says it's really good. And then Walter called
from the
in.
Space Coast, from the Space Coast. And we were talking about the mangoes. And he mentioned another type of like a Kent? Question mark?
Kent is a very popular mango tree.
Yes.
And it's very good. It's delicious. And yes, it's one I recommend.
Okay, good, so good.
There's about 30 different varieties that you can find here in Florida.
Okay, all right. All right, is it easy to grow here or?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Kents are really good. And so thank you, Walter, for that recommendation. I really appreciate it. So I don't have a name. I got Central Florida, and he moved into his house about 8 years ago. It was a new house, and for the first 2 years, the bird of paradise bloomed beautifully. Since then, I've never been able to get it to bloom. I've tried fertilizer. I've tried watering, not watering, everything I can think of, but it just won't bloom. You have any suggestions? By the way, it's in my front of my house and gets full sun all day. So here's the thing about bird paradises. They really, really thrive on being root bound. That's when they bloom. That stresses them out and they produce flowers. If you had a new house and it was pot bound and then they planted it, then it's going to have that kind of stress in its system, and it's going to produce flowers for a year, maybe 2 years. But then when the roots start to grow out, it's going to take a little bit longer for it to bloom. So what I would suggest is, I don't know if you've moved it or whether you've put it in a pot or it's not in a pot. I would go ahead and say, one, keep on fertilizing on a regular basis. You don't need to over-fertilize. You don't need to overwater. Let the rain fall. It's established, so you don't need to overwater it. That's not the problem. But the drought and some of the stress that we've had over the last couple of years is probably not helping it either. So if it is in the ground, it's going to take a couple of years for it to, you know, produce flowers. So keep an eye on it. It's probably going to fertilize for you, or it's probably going to produce flowers for you this coming year. So see, go ahead and look at it. You might find some flowers in there that are coming up, but just keep regular fertilizing, not more, not less, on a regular basis, and water, and it should, produce flowers again. If it has not produced flowers by the end of the summer, next in the spring, I would probably dig it up and see what's going on with the root system and put it back down again and see if that stimulates. It's going to stimulate the root growth, but it might cause it a little bit of stress to produce flowers. When flowers get stressed, they think they're dying or their species needs to continue, and then they start to produce flowers. So that's what happens with bougainvillea and bird of paradise and a couple of other varieties. So great question. Don't think it's your fault. It's just the plant. The plant blooms better when it is completely root bound. Okay, great question. 1-888-455-2967 or you can text us 23680. So Brad in Gainesville says, can a compost heap be sprayed with a fogger? I throw all veggie scraps on the pile, but the bug bites get annoying. I don't want to slow down the decomposting process. No, you can spray it with a fogger. I wouldn't worry about that. Pesticides affect the insects. It's not going to affect the soil or the plants. I'm not too worried about that. And if you're not going to put it on for a month, 3 months, it's just decomposing there, it'll break down very quickly. So who didn't receive?
Alice.
Okay, so Alice says she loves our show. Alice, what? Just go ahead and text us your question again, and I will answer it for you, hon. Thank you so much. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. Let's go to Bobby in Palm Bay. Good morning, Bobby. How can I help you?
Well, good morning. Welcome back.
Thank you so much.
So I recently, I've been living by the beach, like very close to the beach, and I recently decided to stop paying rent and purchase my own home, and I did so inland in Palm Bay.
Congratulations.
So a little bit different. Thank you. Now my plants can get fully rooted, and but I would like to put a loquat tree in the front yard.
Okay.
And didn't realize the different varieties until now, until I started looking at buying one, because I'm having difficulty also finding somebody that does sell them.
Okay.
I think I'd like a big gym, but nobody seems to even know anything about that. And then I have a massive oak tree in the back. It's beautiful, majestic. It takes up most of the yard. It's probably 100 years old. I mean, it takes like two people to wrap your arms around
it. Oh, that's great.
Easily. But I'd like to put, like, what can I do with that might, like, I don't want to harm it. And, like, could I put resurrection ferns up in the big branches?
Sure. Okay, so let's handle your loquat tree. You'll have to check with the different nurseries. Okay, so the different nurseries around where you are, Palm Bay, Rock Ledge, check there, and also at Quality Green Specialist. Just drive up to DeLand and check out. They've got many different varieties of loquats. And Dana, if he doesn't have Big Jim, maybe he can find it for you. Okay, so check with the nurseries, ask them if they can find it, if they can order it for you, and that way you'll get Big Jim. It should be able to get it. I just don't know what they have in stock right now. So I'm glad you're going to plant one. You'll love the fruit. It'll be delicious. Your 100-year-old oak tree, yes, you can put resurrection fern up in. It's not going to hurt it. And if you've got somewhere where you can buy it, because it's really, I don't think that we sell it in the nursery industry or the garden stores, but you might find one on a tree in a park or something like that, and you can just take some of the spores and put them on the tree, and it will they'll sprout out. So that would be good. What else did you want to plant on it?
Well, I want to do some of my orchids and maybe some of the native bromeliads, because my parents have a ton of the native bromeliads, like an annoying amount. Like, they drowned out some of the smaller trees some years.
They do get out of hand, don't they? you can plant all those in there. They're not going to hurt the tree at all. Your orchids, depending on the variety of orchids, you just might want to hang just a basket or... you know, have a way to take it in or cover your orchids in the wintertime, just on the occasion that we do have some of those hard freezes. And but the bromeliads will do just fine in the tree. You don't have to take those out or cover them. They'll do just fine.
Yeah, I was thinking I might have to make a hanging something so I could easily get the orchids off and on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Congratulations on your new home.
The large hanging pots.
Yes.
I've got like a queen of the night that it's the biggest pot I've found without looking online, which I guess I might have to do.
Okay, so do you want to, so your queen of the night, do you want it to grow on the oak tree?
No, just in the hanging pot.
Okay, good, because it will take over your oak tree. It'll look beautiful. I just had a client just had a beautiful night blooming cereus, and it's wonderful. Good luck with your home, Bobby. Thank you so much for calling and listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. It's Saturday morning. This is Where You Are. We love having you here. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. I'm a horticulturist, landscape designer, garden author. I love helping you with your gardening questions. If you have one, you can give me a call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. Let's go to Laddie in Tallahassee. Good morning, Laddie. How can I help you?
I wanted to ask about a, there are a couple of questions actually, but the one I talked to your gal Friday about is a staghorn that I have. It's huge.
Okay.
And I got it when it was fairly small, and I put it in different containers, and now it's sitting in a big wide mouth. It's not a vase, but I like a
pot.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But
I got it.
It has some beautiful leaves on it now that are nice and green and rich looking. But then it's also got some that are brown where they're dying. And when they get dead enough, I can just pull on them a little bit and they come off. But until then, they've still got a strong hold. Is it okay to clip the ones that are dead and ugly looking off?
Sure, sure. Yeah, so some of those leaves, it just could be the weather, lack of, you know, drought. They just died this spring. And so, yeah, go ahead and cut them off. Not a problem.
Is that what, because I don't want, I wondered if it was sitting in too much sun, too, because it's in a lot of sun during the day. Not all day long, but for a good part of it.
That could be part of the issue, because they do like to be in shade. So I have seen staghorn ferns, especially up in Newport. Rhode Island, where we just were, they had the staghorns out in the full sun, but they don't like it, especially here in Florida. The heat can get a little much for them.
Okay. I'll have to get somebody to help me move it, because there's no way I'm going to move it.
No, I understand that. Yeah, no, put it in the shade a little bit, move it over to partial shade, and it'll be just fine.
Okay. And then I'm doing a rain garden, because I'm here in Tallahassee. The city helps you with a rain garden.
All right.
By paying for some of the stuff. So what do you suggest planting in? And I would like the butterflies and the birds to come around to it and possibly get water out of it or nectar from the flowers that
sure.
I might put in there.
Well, what you do, you need to have plants that can handle both dry periods and wet periods. So you're going to, use plants like horsetail reed. You can also use like whirling butterflies will be good. Any kind of a shoreline plant will be good. Parsley hawthorn would be nice to use. So there's a number of different plants. I mean, there's literally probably over 100 different plants you can use. So do they have a sheet that they give you? Or, you know, if you would like to send me an email, teresa.watkins@live.com, I will send you my whole list of rain garden plants.
Oh, that'd be wonderful. Now, Daddy, do you spell Teresa with a T-H or just...
No, just with a T. I'm not the goody-goody one. I'm the Spanish one.
Yes, and it's a T-E-R-E-S-A dot Watkins, W-A-T-K-I-N-S, at live.com.
At live. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome, hon. Thank you for calling, Laddie. So that was really great. So now I want to go back to Brad in Gainesville. And he talked about using a fogger to spray the insects. So I don't know whether they're just midges, Brad. I just want to follow up with you. And or mosquitoes or fungal gnats or just annoying insects. But Summit Responsible Solutions has a great product that you can use on your vegetables and plants and edibles. And it's year-round spray oil. And it will get rid of mosquitoes and also the midges and fungal gnats and everything that's annoying in your garden. But you can use it on edibles. And that's year-round spray oil. And you can go to summit.com and get it. You can find it at box stores. You can find it at nurseries or online. And that will be a good product for you to use. So I wanted to follow up with that so you could get the right product. Okay, thank you so much, Brad, for the text message. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. Real quickly, I wanted to talk about armadillos. I had someone ask me last week, what is your solution for armadillos? Well, armadillos aren't bad, and in fact, they're actually kind of beneficial. They feed primarily on insects and their larvae. They don't eat plants. They eat earthworms, they eat scorpions, they eat spiders, they eat snails, small vertebrates like little lizards, the little chameleons, and their eggs. But they also eat armyworms and cockroaches and ants and wasps and flies and beetles and grasshoppers. So they're really very good. So if you have a lot of earthworms in your soil, and you you have really good rich dirt, maybe a lot of organic material in it where you do have the earthworms, the armadillos are going to come through and they're going to eat those. All right. And so, but they're only going to do a little bit of damage and then they're going to go on. They really don't eat plants, but they do dig, which causes a lot of problems for golf courses and flower beds and gardens, or they'll uproot your flowers and, you know, the burrows, they can burrow underneath your driveway and cause structural damage. So what you want to do is reduce your water and fertilizing, okay, so that you don't have such a rich soil for them. And then you can do fencing around your valuable plantings where you have your landscape plants that you don't want to do it. You can use chicken wire and you can bury it like 18 inches in the ground. That will help. And you can put it at a 40-degree angle and the armadillos won't be able to go in. You can trap them, but I'm going to tell you, you can't release them. This is the big problem here in Florida, is that you have to have a permit to release animals from a trap in another location. So trapping them, you're going to have to kill them yourself or, you know, just let them back out again. You cannot take them to another area and let them go. And Lizzie, you have some things you wanted to tell me.
Yes, and do not pick them up. Do not touch them because they carry, what is that, skin disease?
Leprosy.
Leprosy. So they carry leprosy. They're the best animals in the world, but they are not meant for cuddling or picking up. So
no, and they're not native to Florida. So you
really?
Know, yeah, they're not native to Florida. But you poison baits are illegal and they're ineffective. You can't use chemical repellents or fumigants that are registered. You can't do any of that. So the only way to get rid of them is, one, to get rid of the grubs, or if you have bad pests in your yard, you know, get rid of those where you don't have any food sources for them. But armadillos really are beneficial. They aerate the soil and they just do their thing and then they just move on. So, you know, you don't want to really target them. So thank you for the question. 1-888-455-2967. You can text 23680. We've got another 15 minutes. We'll take your questions this Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. We have a few more minutes left here in our last quarter hour. Give us a call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me 23680. I got great news today from Joanne in Maitland, and she's a member of the Orlando Garden Club. And she said, Teresa, I used Raid Wasp and Hornet Spray on Lubber Grasshoppers, and it worked. It killed them. So, Eileen, that's really something that I think you can use, Raid Wasp and Hornet Spray. I just want to make sure that we're using it as directed. And so Raid and Wasp and Hornet Spray is usually not toxic to healthy plants, although they warn against applying home and garden to young and edible plants. So you've got to make sure that the grasshoppers are either on the cement, on the road, or you know, you don't want them necessarily on any plants that are edible. Also, too, the residue may prevent plants from completing the next necessary functions for life, like photosynthesis and respiration. So you don't want to spray the leaves of the plants. And then some plants may be more susceptible to it than others. So be very, very careful when you use it. It's also not good for beneficial insects like predators and beneficial pollinators. So using Raid on flowers will kill important pollinators. So just be very careful. So how much do you spray? I don't know. I would just panic and crush them. But, you know, you can just spray just a little bit until they die, which is a very good feeling. So thank you, Joanne, for that tip. Just be very careful when you're using it. That will be fine. So we did go to the Newport Flower Show last week. It was incredible. They had beautiful chandeliers made out of carrots and celery.
Okay, I saw that. I was going to ask you because it almost looked like cucumbers at one.
Yes.
That was amazing.
It's a wonderful picture. You can go and see it on my Facebook page, Teresa Watkins FL. You can follow me on Teresa Watkins FL. And then also follow us on Better Lawns and Gardens, too, as well. And so the Rosecliff, we went to the beautiful mansions, Rosecliff and Rough Point. And Lizzie, these are summer cottages. They really consider them summer cottages, but they were palatial. Just extremely beautiful. The ocean view was incredible. And now I know why they go there, because the temperatures at Newport were 10 to 15 degrees cooler than on inland.
Oh.
Okay, about an hour away, they were 15 degrees warmer. And so the breezes really make a difference. We went to Block Island, which is kind of a smaller version and a younger population from Martha's Vineyard, and it was gorgeous. We went to Blythewald Mansion and had afternoon tea.
Ooh.
They have beautiful gardens and the largest redwood tree. They're an arboretum, and the largest redwood tree east of the Mississippi. It's over 100 feet tall. So when we go to these gardens, they are just sublime. They're beautiful, and everybody who went with us was wonderful. We enjoyed them so much. They were all gardeners and geeking out at the gardens just alongside me. But we take small groups. We have grand gardens we visit. And we still have space on our Garden Walk Buffalo in 2 weeks, which changed my whole landscape design philosophy. It is just an extremely incredible place to go visit gardens. And they have tropical plants. It's just incredible. And we also go to Niagara Falls on the Canadian side. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And then in August, we're going to Scotland to visit the most incredible gardens, too. So I am just very excited. Can't wait. Tom McCubbin will be here with you and Lizzie. So that's going to be a lot of fun. So
Gary Bachman will be here.
Gary, I'm going to miss Gary, but we're going to see him again in October. So yes, that'll be good. We can't wait for him to come. So can I say you're just going to have a good time without me?
Well, you know, as much as I'm going to miss you, it's still going to be fun, but not as fun. So,
okay, that makes me feel better. That's wonderful. And so so it's just important. If you'd like to come with me, artandbloomgardentours.com, and you can register, or you can email me, teresa.watkins@live.com. You can also go to my website, she-consulting.com, and sign up for the newsletters on future tours. We've got great tours coming up in 2026. We are going to do a revolutionary garden tour to celebrate America's birthday, 250th birthday.
Wow.
And then we also are going to go to the Chelsea Flower Show. We are going to do lots of great visits. So just check it out.
And they sell out quickly. So when she actually announces this, you need to get on board immediately.
Well,
and
we already
get your
have a lot of people wanting to go on the Chelsea tour. So a lot of that and the Revolutionary Garden tour. We're going to be going visiting places like Mount Vernon and Monticello and the Smithsonian and lots of old homes with grand gardens. Oh, it's just going to be sublime. So remember to check out our sponsors. We have great sponsors that allow us to bring you Better Lawns and Gardens for free. And they are companies that are ethical, responsible for the environment. They are very protective of the environment. Mm-hmm. And they are great, great businesses.
And they're very educational along with their trustworthy. So Teresa just doesn't take on random sponsors to do this show. So like Peterson's, they have their orchid
repotting seminar this morning. So you can go and get that done between 10 and noon today. You can bring two orchids, 6 inches or less. Don't bring them a whole big, huge pot to repot. Just your small orchids, get them repotted. But then Black Cow is just a great company. Summit Responsible Solutions, too, as well. Quality Green Specialists, Peterson's Nursery in Lakeland. We just thank them for their support. Tell them thank you for doing that. And tell them Teresa and Lizzie say hi.
Definitely.
We can do that. And so lots of good things to do. So what can you be planting right now? Let me go down this because in July, you know, we have a lot of flowers we can plant this time of the year. Angelonias, ageratums, begonias in the sun and in the shade. Blue Days. Blue Days is a hard worker. It was my plant of the month for my June newsletter. And if you'd like to receive the newsletter, again, you can go to my website, she-consulting.com, and sign up for it. I don't spam. I don't, you know, sell your list. You're private. You're all mine. And I don't give you away. Bush daisies, butterfly plants, bulbines, cat whiskers, cleomies, coleuses, chrysandra, Mexican heather, fire spikes, gaillardias and ginger, goldenrod and impatience, Joseph's coat, lantana, marigold and melopodium, Mexican petunias. They have the sterile varieties now. Look for those. You want the sterile Mexican petunias. Mexican sunflowers, the tithonia. They have the most beautiful orange color. Lizzie, do you remember in the Crayola box, they had the orange-red crayon, and then they had the red-orange crayon?
Yeah.
Okay, so they had the names reversed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, tithonias are red-orange, and they're just beautiful. And butterflies love them, and they're just wonderful. And even hummingbirds love them. Then also moonflower vines, gorgeous, gorgeous summer vine. It's beautiful. Ornamental sweet potatoes, pentas, periwinkles and porterweed, portulaca and purslane, salvia, sunflowers, tyrrhenias, and the classic zinnia. And zinnias are really, really beautiful. I am going to be posting my top favorites on my blog page. You can go to my website and read In Your Backyard, and you'll see them there. Also, too, you can catch the newsletter there if you'd like to check it out and see what's going on. Herbs, you can plant anise and basil and bay laurel and chives, dill and ginger, lemon balm, Mexican tarragon and mint, oregano, sage, sweet marjoram, and thyme. And then the bulb plants, I think I can get this all in. Achimenes, African irises and bulbines, caladiums and cannas, crinums and crocosmia, daylilies. Daylilies are looking beautiful right now. The Stella Dioras are blooming everywhere. Eucharist lilies, gladiolas, gloriosa lilies are blooming right now. Peacock gingers and society garlic, spiderwort, rain lilies, and walking irises. I'd like to give a shout out to a good friend and a client, Christine. She is in my prayers. I'm thinking of her. Everybody just send good wishes for that. And we're going to be back next week, Lizzie, with more of gardening questions and helping people out with their gardens.
That's right. And you guys can still text during the week because I keep track of the text line and then I send Teresa pictures of them. So if you think of something during the week to ask her, don't wait till Saturday because if you're like me, 5 seconds later, you'll forget it. So go ahead and text us now.
There you go. And I appreciate everyone who called today from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, maker of organic mosquito bits and dunks and Summit Green Armor Insect Repellent and Deer Ban. I'm Teresa Watkins. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Go to our website, betterlawns.com. That's betterlawns.com, and you can catch all the information that you need on Teresa and Better Lawns and Gardens there.